last time we met on a Saturday, we were still dealing with the shield of faith, but we've moved on from that, and we're now at the helmet of salvation. And I must admit, for me, I've really struggled to comprehend why salvation was represented in the form of a helmet. You know, why the helmet of salvation? Because to me, salvation is the starting block. It's like the foundation. So to me, it should have been something more like a breastplate or a belt, or something that was more central and pivotal and foundational, you know, even the shoes. But I think as we went through a bit of this last week with Jane, and as we continue to look at it, I'm hoping that it'll become more of a revelation for you. Maybe you've got it, but I've wrestled a bit with it, and I'm still trying to comprehend exactly what God is trying to say to me through this. So if any of you have a great revelation as we speak, please do share, because it's an interesting topic. It's so foundational and it's so key, and it's the starting point, and yet there's so much that we can learn from it. So on, if you look at page, if you have your books and you want to fill in that space on page 150 and 151, okay, I want to focus, I'm not going to give you all of the points, other than it says at the top, your salvation is your liberation. So try and remember that. Your salvation is your liberation. Salvation is not just about redemption. It is also a defensive, protective device. And then what I want to focus on is this. Salvation was meant to implement an entire new way of thinking into your life. The enemy is after your mind. Salvation gives you comprehensive coverage. Everything you need to remain safeguarded against the attacks of the enemy. Salvation gives you comprehensive coverage. Everything you need to remain safeguarded against the attacks of the enemy. This is working. So if you want the rest, it's in my book and you can just get it afterwards, or I will put it onto the ladies group, onto the WhatsApp group. If any of you want to be added to that WhatsApp group and you're not on it and you don't mind 10 million messages every hour, then you are welcome to be added to the WhatsApp group. But don't complain if it's too much for you. So we're on page 157. It's the day two of this thing of the helmet of salvation. And you don't need the book, but it's helpful. And I have ordered more books for those that wanted. But the title is The Inheritance. And she gives this lovely story about these friends of hers that are the leaders of a church campsite. And she says that when they visit the house that this couple, this family live in, she's always amazed at what she finds, because it's this beautiful sort of mansion of a house, beautiful architecture on this beautiful lake, and it's really lavish. And she can't, initially when they didn't really know the background to this couple, she couldn't work out, how do people that run a camp that have this sort of salary afford this type of house? And as she got to know them, she realized that it was through an inheritance. They had received an inheritance from their, I think, the dad. And because of this inheritance, they could live way above their sort of paycheck. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could all get those inheritances that would just take us from here to here. And that is a key part of the teaching today, is about this thing of our inheritance in Christ. How it can take us from here to here. Okay, that's what it's essentially about. So the scripture that we're going to turn to is Ephesians 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1, verse 11. And I'm going to, she does have in the side there the, I don't know, it's one of the versions. It's, I don't like that version. I'm going to read you the New Living Translation. It says this, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. Because we're united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. So, her first question is this. What have we received? What has Maxine received from God?
Inheritance.
An inheritance. Okay. How has Maxine received that inheritance? Hello guys, how you doing? If we can just get another chair there.
Sorry.
So how do we get this inheritance?
Through Christ.
It says, because we are united with Christ. No, it's fine. Make the circle bigger. Welcome, guys.
Really, Tanika? Just quiet down.
Okay. So now we're going to focus. Okay. This inheritance we receive because we are united with Christ. Do we have to do anything to get this inheritance? No, it's a free gift. What should be the outcome of us having it? I mean, you can answer that in many ways. What is the outcome of us having an inheritance from God? Abundant blessing, joy, peace. I've actually gone literally with the scripture and I've said everything will work out according to his plan. If you look at the scripture, it says there, he makes everything work out according to his plan. That will be a consequence of us walking in this inheritance. So, the key point to today's teaching is that we firstly understand that we have a spiritual inheritance. That salvation is the first step. But that salvation brings us to a place where we can receive this inheritance. And then we've got to choose to live in it and to walk in it every single day. And what she emphasized in the previous chapter was that salvation doesn't occur once off, as in, yes, we receive salvation. He's my Lord and my Savior. But then I've got to continue to walk in that salvation. That's called sanctification. This thing of salvation is a daily walk. It's a daily working it out. We walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. Daily, we put on this helmet of salvation and we walk in it. We live in it, remembering that it brings this incredible inheritance. So, I want to read to you what she says. We've received a vast, boundless, lavish inheritance. One that we did not earn and that we do not deserve. And she tells us to go to page 178, and I want to just highlight some of them. If you do have the book, please work through it. I've literally worked through it, and I've gone through some of the scriptures because some of them are almost too much to believe. But it's titled, My Inheritance and Identity in Christ. And I've underlined the parts that mean something to me, but you're going to go through it, and you're going to underline the ones that really are like stand out for you. For me, it's, I am a child of God. Remember, this is my inheritance, my salvation inheritance. I am a child of God. I have peace with God. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I have access to God's wisdom. I am completely forgiven. Wow. I am the sweet fragrance of Christ to God. I am holy, and I share in God's heavenly calling. That one I wrestled with. I don't know. For me, I wrestled with it. I was like, where does that say that? So it's Hebrews 3:1. I am holy, and I share in God's heavenly calling. Another one that meant a lot to me, I've been rescued from Satan's domain and transferred into the kingdom of Christ. I am a princess in God's kingdom. It speaks about being a prince. I'm a princess. And there are scriptures there to back up every single one of those statements. But there we see something of this lavish inheritance. So I'm starting to call this helmet my salvation inheritance helmet. It just helps me understand it. My salvation inheritance helmet. Because it's not just about salvation as in Jesus has given me new life. But it's Jesus has given me abundant life. There's a full inheritance right there for me to take hold of. It's a salvation inheritance helmet. Susie, are you wearing it today? Shannon, are you wearing it today? Is it there? Because what is it protecting?
Your mind.
It's protecting the mind. So every single one of those things that I read to you are examples of that salvation inheritance helmet protecting my mind against the nonsense of the enemy. She writes this salvation inheritance enables you to not only stop living below your spiritual station in life, but it also protects your mind against the enemy's attempts to cripple your thinking, to convince you that you are worth less than you really are. The ripple effect of this protection will be a change in your mindset, lifestyle, and the choices you make. This new way of looking at things will begin changing the outcome of the battles you face against the enemy, deflecting all his attempts at thwarting you from reaching your destiny. Okay? So it's a key part of our armor, our salvation inheritance. I want to read another scripture to you. Romans 8 verse 17. And I've got the New Living Translation written out. So it's Romans 8 verse 17. It says Romans. This. Where's Romans? It's after Acts.
He's Acts.
Just my friend. Never take her seriously. Always remember that she's generally joking about everything. Okay.
Romans?
Romans 8 verse 17. And since we are his children, I'm his child, I'm his daughter. Since we are his children, we are his heirs. I always remember a friend of ours, when he would preach, he would speak about how we were heirs. We are not heirs, we are heirs. Okay, say it with an English accent, heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Now that I wrestled with. I don't have an issue with the fact that I'm an heir of God, that I'm a child of God. No issue. But it says here, together with Christ, I'm an heir of God's glory. And this is something of what Milan was trying to speak about on Sunday, what Linz was sharing about our authority in Christ. We have that authority. So, I know for some of us, we might wrestle with this concept of, I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of His glory. It might be something it's like a head knowledge, but it's not a heart knowledge. And I don't know how that can be changed other than through you going through Scripture, going through those two pages that I referred you to, that speak about who we are in Christ. Because the more we speak it over ourselves, the more we'll receive it. The thing about an inheritance is that it is for free. I remember, I think it was, I don't know, 20 years ago, when Milan's dad died, he left an inheritance to his children. And I just remember thinking to myself, wow, one day there was nothing. And the next day, there was something. And we hadn't done anything to deserve it. Milan had done nothing to deserve it other than he was Dragomir Popovich's son. And next thing, there was, boom, an inheritance. The thing about that inheritance is that it didn't last very long. And the bank in the end wanted a whole lot back because they'd made a mistake as the executor of the will. They'd miscalculated some things. So it was a little bit of a journey, yes. Now imagine in Christ that inheritance, it doesn't run out. It's ever flowing. It's always there. It's there for us to take hold of. I have a favorite little poem. It says this: ye sit beside a countless store, but perish hungry at the door. Sure. Ye sit beside a countless store, but perish hungry at the door. Think of this magnificent barn full of supply. It's like never ending. There's always riches in there. Sense His Holy Spirit on this. There's so much in there. And then there's this person sitting just on this side of the door. And they're looking at it and they go, wow. But they just continue to stand next to the entrance. And they don't go in there and feast and consume and grow and just let Him lavish them with His love and His grace and His gifts. Remember what Milan was talking about on Sunday? Jesus came to give those gifts, freely given. There's all of those gifts. I want more. I want more. We can be greedy for the things of God. It's a good thing. And it's limitless. Don't perish hungry at the door. I will. And what I will also share with you, I shared it on the one group this morning. It's an incredible testimony by Rory Dyer. So Rory is an incredible man within our sort of movement that is a man of great faith. But he's a very honest man. And he gives just some incredible stories of this walk of faith. And he speaks about this father of his who was a flawed earthly father. Rory has a son, And this grandfather could see over his grandson that he would become a great rugby player. So literally on his deathbed, he writes in his writing, on his will, I, Rory's dad, want my son to go to, my grandson, to go to Hilton College to become a great rugby player. And he signs it. But it's written very poorly with broken English, lots of mistakes in it. And that's the will. Rory had said to him, Dad, I don't have the money to send my son to Hilton. But obviously, I think through this inheritance, his son went to Hilton. 6 years later, he now shows a picture. Now, this is all in this testimony that I'm going to share with you. He shows a picture of his grandson, 18 years old, in a Springbok jersey, under 18s, Springbok, captain, Rory Dyer's son. Okay? So he says, here's the will. My imperfect daddy's will. And then he shows the picture of the inheritance and the fruit of the inheritance. My son, captain of the under 18s Springbok rugby team. He says, here is your father's will for you. Here. It's all here. Are you going to receive it? So that this life would be a life that would be a boom life. A life that's just full of that inheritance. Everything that is good, perfect, and pleasing.
But doesn't it show you what you speak over your children, what you declare over your children, the scriptures you declare over your children, please excuse me, is just carrying a lot of weight.
Carries so much weight. She has to answer that call. She's on reception at the doctor's room. What we speak over ourselves and what we speak over our children, it's key. But it's also what we model to them. And so I can say this, that I see in my children something of this thing of seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and everything else shall be added. And I see it in their lives. My son is sharing, he's leading his own home group. On Thursday night he did his second preach. He's 23 years old. And both Dwayne and Lauren that lead the church, they both sent us messages and just said, we are stunned at your son's progress. Stunned. I can say this. 3 years ago, Nathan was nowhere near that. Let's say that the pubs and everything that goes with that was really important to Nathan. He has gone through such an incredible journey, but his foundations were laid in the church with his parents, trusting and believing that as they sought first his kingdom and his righteousness, everything else would be added.
Sorry.
I've just agreed with what you said, Michelle. Okay. So, as she says here, that helmet not only protected just the head, but it also protected the neck and the cheekbones. It gave comprehensive coverage. And that's what she says here. It gives comprehensive coverage, that salvation inheritance helmet gives us comprehensive coverage for us as believers. Choosing not to wear it means leaving our mind exposed, unprotected, like people who don't even own a helmet. I mean, who's going to go out to battle without that helmet? We know that if the enemy can take out the head or the heart, he's got you. What is this? The mind. The mind is a part of the soul. So remember, we know that there's spirit, soul, and body. The soul is made up of four parts, okay? The mind, the intellect, reason and our conscience. Okay? So the mind is a key part of our soul. And we want our minds to be protected by that salvation inheritance. So let's look at two scriptures that speak about the mind. Millen's done a whole teaching on this. Isaiah 26, 3 to 4. Does somebody want to read that? Isaiah 26, 3 to 4. We nearly finished.
I'll read it.
Okay.
3 to 6.
Yeah. No, 3 to 4.
3 to 4. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock.
Beautiful. You will keep, God will keep in perfect peace all who trust in him, whose thoughts, mind, are fixed on him. I've written in brackets, whose minds are stayed on God. Okay? The mind. The importance of our thoughts. The second scripture is Romans 8, 6 to 7. Does somebody want to read that? Romans 8, 6 to 7.
For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity.
Okay, I'm going to read the New Living. It says, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Sinful nature controlling your mind leads to death. Letting the Spirit of God, control your mind leads to life and peace. Isn't that beautiful? So we see death and we see life. Choose before you today. What are we going to choose? I want life and peace, Lord Jesus. So if I want life and peace, I want the Holy Spirit to be controlling my mind. She says this, every single function of your body, whether just a small movement of your pinky finger to operate in a car or running a marathon, Tandi, Masamola, is attached to the signals and impulses your brain sends. If your brain is impaired, your body will also be impaired, no matter how healthy the individual parts of your body may be. Okay? Common sense. What the brain is to the body, your mind is to your soul. It is the spiritual expression of your brain, the control center. If your mind doesn't send out healthy impulses, your soul will not respond in healthy ways. That is why the enemy works so diligently to cripple you through negative thoughts and unhealthy patterns of imagination. Unhealthy patterns of imagination. Remember that. Most of those thoughts can be imaginations. So-and-so hates me. Where do you get that from? Mm-hmm. I just know it. Have you ever asked them? Have you ever sat with them? Have you ever chatted to them? No, they just hate me. Unhealthy patterns of thinking. So, some unhealthy patterns of thinking. I am unworthy. I am unloved. I am incapable. I am undesirable. I am unforgivable. I am unknown. My life is insignificant. I am a mistake. I can lose my salvation. I hate even reading that. But as we know, if we think that, we feel it, and then we act upon it. And she has a whole little exercise there. I'm not going to do any of that. I want to declare the opposite. I am worthy. Trixie is loved. Sandra is capable. Tanika is so desirable. Petru's life is significant. Kerry's life was not a mistake. Salo is forgiven. And Penny can't lose her salvation, no matter how hard she tries every now and then to do something very naughty. I do believe that if you do turn your back on Jesus and renounce him as your Lord and Savior, you can lose your salvation.
Yes.
But it requires an active declaration. I no longer believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That is the only way that you can lose your salvation. But you can't lose it. Remember, it's a sanctification. You can't lose it by being a naughty person, by making mistakes. I always remember having a conversation with a mommy who lost her boy. He was about 27. He was the most magnificent young man. He'd made a decision for Jesus. He loved Jesus. He wasn't making the best choices. His sanctification wasn't brilliant, but he knew Jesus and he believed. And she said, Susie, and he died in a tragic accident. I don't know if I said that. And she said, where is he? And I said, he's with Jesus. And she says, how do you know that? And I said, did he make a decision for Jesus? Did he ever renounce Jesus as his Lord and Savior? She says, never. So I said, he is with Jesus. Okay. Justification, sanctification, two very different things. Justification, he is saved. Sanctification, that's the process that we're on. Okay. So the conclusion, you have a choice to be an heir of salvation. You don't need to live from a limited perspective of scarcity and lack. Remember that countless store. Unprotected, unshielded, vulnerable to assault. Your inheritance, so full and rich and robust and plentiful, was bestowed upon you by someone who died on your behalf nearly 2,000 years ago. The helmet of salvation is protection for your head and for your mind. Put it on, and you'll begin to see a raise in your standard of living right away. Okay, that's the conclusion. So I hope that was helpful. I feel that we